Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report. Where truth can't be silenced, no matter how hard they try. Truth cannot be silenced. Websites for the truth include HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com. There you can find our audio and video assets and popular segments, previous programs, audio downloads. That's HagmanReportLive.com, HagmanReport.com. There you'll find articles of interest, including one that directs you to today's show. The show this evening is going to be very interesting. I don't know if how many people have read the book Shadowland. You know, I left it in my office here. I'll have to just walk here momentarily to get it. But Shadowland's a new book. Oh, Eric the Tech is going to save the day. Actually, Eric, I think it could be on the, oh, there it is. Check this out. Now that, I'm going to tell you something. Eric is a treasure. He really is. And, he's the MacGyver of all things studio. And, of course, helps me when I'm not right.
The only thing I don't do is dress or bathe you.
Well, you know, give me another couple of years and maybe you might have to. I'm kidding. Look at this. Shadowland, Thomas Horn. I read this book, this past weekend. It's an amazing. This book is in the back, as the back says, soberly and frighteningly exposes occult influences hidden, especially within Washington's deep state and modern culture. Now this gets into from everything from Jeffrey Epstein to the Clintons, from Obama to Biden to the occult elite. There's some things in here that are relevant to today. And when I say today, I'm talking about what we're seeing now with this novel coronavirus, which I will always refer to as the Chinese Wuhan coronavirus. That's me. Why? Because that's perhaps the more accurate phrase. Or is it? Here to talk about all of this and more, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, stevequayle.com, and Tom Horn from Skywatch TV. Now, before I get to both of them, I just want to say this. Folks, we've been working with the best roaster, I believe, in my view, the best roaster on the planet for coffee. If you haven't gotten your coffee yet, whether it's a whole bean or grind or K-cups, whether it's Detective's Choice, which is my favorite, that's hyper-caffeinated, the Patriot Blend for Patriots, made by Patriots for Patriots, and the Revolution Blend, made for America's Revolution 2.0. May I suggest you really need to stop at our store. Now, this is gourmet coffee. Proceeds help organizations, including Vets for Child Rescue. That's Craig Sawyer. And Russ Dizdar, his organization as well. All right. With that, I'm not going to spend any more time. There's so many headlines. You can read them. Just go on the internet and read the headlines. I'm not going to go over them. We're going to take a deep dive into what's perhaps behind what we're seeing today. And Steve Quayle called it 25 years ago, Breathe No Evil. He called it, end of story, as well as his current spate of headlines, and that's on stevequayle.com. Steve, I'm going to bring you on first. You can bring Tom on, and let's rock.
Well, thank you, Doug, and I think it's really a crisis point broadcast because Jesus said the night comes when no man can work, and Tom Horn's new book, Shadowland, is talking about that time right up into the darkest period that's ever been on the earth or in the history of the world. And so the thing is that we're now seeing acceleration. We're seeing hypersonic evil. We're seeing a nation that has lost its mind collectively, in my opinion. We're seeing the absolute denigration and war on the living God. And so I'm going to bring Tom on right away. And here's the main question I've got for Tom to open it up. Tom, is it deep state, obviously Shadowland, are they using and going to use the coronavirus, the panic, the fear globally to implement the Antichrist system that we know is coming in the end times along with the government? Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And by the way, I would encourage people to go to stevequayle.com, and maybe you can tell them where the navigation on your website is. But yesterday, we recorded two broadcast television programs for Skywatch TV with Steve that will be playing on TV soon. So be watching for those. That Steve literally knocked it out of the park, starting with a prophecy that he gave almost 30 years ago that reads like today's headlines in terms of how quickly life can just be going along to get along, and you think everything's normal, and literally in one day, air traffic is stopped, trucking is being interrupted, supply chain development is being interrupted. If you wouldn't have known that that was on his website for decades, you would have thought that he sat down, looked at today's headlines, and wrote that down. So I would very much encourage people, Steve, to go to your website. Can you tell them exactly how to do that?
Sure, it's on my front page. It's up at the very top left, and it says prophetic words given to me. And basically, Tom, you nailed it. God said he's going to bring the United States to a standstill. No planes would fly, including, by the way, private jets are now grounded. No trains would run. No trucks would run. And basically, that prophecy was so far ahead of its time. You know, when you're dealing with prophecy, you know this, that most people believe if God were to give a word on Monday, if it wasn't fulfilled on Friday, they would basically call them false prophets. I'm on record as never claiming to be, and you and I have done enough broadcasts over the year, you've never heard those words. But I think people lose track of the fact that the Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So I would go and urge everyone, because what we're talking, Tom, is the end times that you have detailed in all your books leading up to it. But Shadowland is basically in your face. So go ahead and let's get right into it, because, look, we're seeing a global pandemic. The four horsemen of the apocalypse have begun their ride. And the number one denial body of people mocking and scorning preparation or even identification of the Wuhan virus are those who are basically claiming to be followers of Jesus. So tell me what and the prompting behind Shadowland, but you've been quite candidly in the halls of Congress. You know a lot of people that are, let's just say this, not visible to the naked eye, but are visible to you and who talk to you. So would you go ahead, sir?
Yeah, so this book went to the editor 4 months before the world had ever even heard the term coronavirus. It was in print about 8 or 10 weeks ago, so just before the world heard the question of coronavirus. And in this book, after laying out what I envision to be the occultist elite, their scheme from Washington, D.C., all the way over, by the way, to Epstein's Orgy Island, and people may say, well, how in the world do you connect those two? Maybe we'll get a chance today to talk about that. But I laid out what I believed was coming, and in one part of the book, Shadowland, I asked this big question. Could a pandemic suddenly arise overnight through which the deep state, Shadowland, would use that as an excuse to begin implementing an end times socialist new world order? So it's important for people to know that that book, because when they read it, they're going to think, okay, well, you're just looking at today's headlines and drawing some conclusions. No, this was in print before coronavirus. It just happened to be very prescient in the fact that it forerun what I see happening around the world today. Let me give you just a couple of quick headlines. Headline number one in the news this week, Denmark rushes through emergency coronavirus law with mandatory vaccinations and prison for those that refuse to be vaccinated. I won't take time to read the article, but it illustrates exactly what I saw coming. Here's another headline. Supercom introduces biometric tracking solution to contain coronavirus. And the very first paragraph says Supercom. By the way, Supercom is an international company that works with prisons. They create ankle bracelets and that kind of thing for tracking and monitoring the whereabouts of individuals. Supercom, here's the paragraph, is providing a tracking biometric technology-based solution for quarantine and isolation monitoring to help governments contain infectious diseases such as coronavirus, the company announced today. I'll give you a third headline, then I'll quit, although I got a handful of them. Third headline, this from Defense One, which is a very respected news source that publishes the defense headlines. This one, now military proposes biosensor implant for future of pandemic detection. And the first paragraph says, the Profusa Lume sensor system consists of a special hydrogel and an emitting device. Together, the two can detect and transmit data on subtle changes in the body, including potentially infection from diseases and viruses like coronavirus. I'll stop with that, though I have a whole list of those. And people can search the headlines for themselves, read the same thing. What we have right now are monster corporations, including DARPA, that are rushing to the forefront to use coronavirus as an opportunity to create biometric systems and, in particular, implantable systems that would go into your body that can monitor your whereabouts so that the government knows where you are and also if you are contagious. Now, 7 years ago, I published in my best-selling book, Zenith 2016, a summary of what I saw coming. Interesting that 2016 was the national election that nobody saw coming, gave rise to Donald Trump, also gave rise, though, to the agitation of the deep state against which Trump has been at war, at least until now. And I foresaw that year, as did around the world, numerous ancient sages that all looked to the year 2016. That's actually what the book is about. It just takes all these ancient prophecies, some of them from thousands of years ago, some of them from hundreds of years ago, that saw 2016 as the pivotal moment in time that would then turn toward a system that would bring about the arrival of a global dictator, i.e., the Antichrist. And some of those ancient prophets even said that this is what's going to happen. 2016 will involve national and international changes that will ultimately produce the arrival of the dreaded man of sin. And here's what I wrote in that book 7 years ago, quote, it's been assumed for centuries that a prerequisite for the coming of Antichrist would be a revived world order, an umbrella under which national boundaries dissolve and ethnic groups, ideologies, religions, and economics from around the world will orchestrate a single and dominant sovereignty. At the head of this utopian administration, a single personality will surface. At first, he will appear to be a man of distinguished character, but ultimately he will become, as Daniel 8:23 says, a king of fierce countenance. With imperious decree, he will facilitate a one-world government, universal religion, and get this, global socialism. Those who refuse his new world order will inevitably be imprisoned or destroyed until at last he exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, end quote. So for some time now, for the better part of a decade, I have seen this moment coming. I have felt it in my spirit. I have dreamt about it in the middle of the night. And even other things, Steve, that you and I have both written, whether it's transhumanism or the book I released 3 months ago, The Wormwood Prophecy. All of these, like you said in your almost 30-year-old prophecy, Steve, are signs of the times. There shall be signs in the heavens and in the stars and on earth, distress of nation with perplexity, men's hearts failing them for fear, Luke said, for seeing those things that are coming upon the earth. And if fear is not gripping the earth today, then I don't know what is. So to me, in order to accomplish the rise of Antichrist's final world order as it's depicted in Scripture, it has been my position for more than a decade. And this, of course, based on...
Yeah, I think we lost, Steve, we lost Tom. So, okay.
Well, I can take it from there.
Yeah, do that. Do
all,
so.
All of the signs that Tom writes about in Shadowland, all of the things he talks about, he lays it out in his very, very logical and sequential order. And we're there, Doug, because again, my statement on your show, I think when we did it, was it last week on Thursday, was people don't want to admit, especially God's people, the lateness of the hour. I just received an email of a typical, well, I really like you, but, and you probably know what that means. And again, from a Christian saying, you've got to listen to this guy, this guy, and this guy. All the people that they want us to listen to are the mainstream people, some very prominent conservatives who are saying, number one, it isn't a bioweapon. Number two, and Alex Jones has changed his position too, that it's just a global fear to orchestrate the taking away of our rights. I'll agree with that. It is global fear. It's taking away our rights. But the people that accuse me of that, and Mike Adams and others, fail to recognize one thing. We've read the Chinese war plan, and we understand the 1-2-3 punch that China is already detailed almost 15 years ago. And Jeff Nyquist, God bless him, just generated probably one of the best reports on that. Tom, are you back?
Steve, let me just, before we go to Tom, Steve, let me just clarify one thing, because there seems to be this onslaught of people saying, look, this is just the flu. Look at the numbers. The numbers for the flu, the normal every year flu, outweigh the coronavirus, the Wuhan, Chinese Wuhan coronavirus. Well, yes, if you look at the beginning of the curve, okay, there are no numbers out there, at least in my view, Steve, that, that permit any kind of contemporaneous analysis that would be accurate to the larger effect of this virus. Is that the case?
Well, I would challenge that, because the coronavirus, for instance, let's say the Italy word. Let me give everybody a Renaissance moment. That's why I chose the name, because of the Renaissance, the Italian Renaissance. But here's the deal, Doug. The death rate in Italy, and I've asked the experts, why is it that the Italian death rate and the Iranian death rates are so high? And the initial response was because Italy's telling the truth. Iran started out telling the truth, and China's lying through their teeth. They've changed it five times.
Right.
Changed it five times.
Right.
So now we've got the MSM, which is the mainstream communist network, siding with the Chinese. And here's the point. It's a political year, and it's politically important that people understand that panic doesn't do well for re-election. So I'm telling everybody, I stand my ground. I wrote the book 20 years ago, Breathe No Evil. You've read it.
Yep.
And Tom, we've talked about that. But again, you know, somehow the mainstream media, which are pathological liars, in my opinion, with a globalist slash communist bent on everything, or they're bent on everything that's communistic, in my opinion, somehow they know better, and they don't even know the true statistics of this flu, because those are being understated. I know a man, and I'll just say this, in another country, won't even name it, who built the ovens. His name was presented to me, and he built the ovens, the crematoriums, the crematorium-like trailers that China's using. They can burn 1,000 bodies an hour. And just to give you an idea, they're hundreds of feet long, and they bolt together in sections. So no amount of evidence to the skeptics will ever suffice. But what Tom has done in Shadowland is telling you this is the plan. Do we have him back now?
He's having some phone problems. Eric, the tech. What's that? Okay, no, we don't have him right now, Steve. Now we just have him. So his phone connection or whatever's going on here is not normal, and of course not. Why not? Why would it be? Go ahead, Steve.
Well, Tom, I just explained why that I categorically reject that the MSM or anybody is going to tell the truth, and why Italy's telling the truth, and why we're seeing the amount of death there. It's like Christians just have exited anything that's prophetic. And if you would address the whole issue that when the church started forsaking the prophetic, it became pathetic. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so what was the last thing you heard me saying before we got cut off?
You were talking about the rise of the beast and the Antichrist system. You were on point one, pretty much. Coronavirus.
Oh,
and Doug asked, yeah, then when
did,
you got
did hear any
off,
of the stuff I was about de Blasio in California?
No, you never got to that.
No.
Oh my goodness. Well, okay. Well, I won't go back and then try to put that all back together again. The point that I was making, I guess I was talking to myself while one of the government agencies was cutting us off, was that in order for Antichrist to accomplish his final world order, it's been my position. It is in Shadowland. It's been for some time, and also based on decades of Bible study, that he would either create or he would take advantage of a global trigger event such as the coronavirus pandemic in order to initiate his socialist new world order. Before I make the point that got me in a lot of, it didn't get me in trouble as if I care, but it got me in a lot of news, including Newsweek magazine, a lot of other headline stories this last week where people were going berserk over the fact that I said that the coronavirus or a pandemic like it could lead to an implantable system, the mark of the beast. Before I talk about that, I would love to say something very quickly. This is really important to Americans who are listening, especially the millennial age young people that might be listening to this program, about what's happening right now that is pushing us towards what I think is an end-time government, socialist, Marxist dictatorship system, with it especially being pushed, but I think also now increasingly being adopted by some both independents and also Republican members, but especially among the Democratic Party presidential aspirants, to use this latest pandemic to grow the federal bureaucracy to what I think are unprecedented end-time proportions. And, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that we are standing right now on the precipice of martial law. Today, Governor Gavin Newsom talking about how in California, he is asserting his right to initiate martial law. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio has been arguing this for the last 3 weeks or more and saying that the best way to tackle the coronavirus outbreak would be for the federal government to take over, to nationalize private companies. States. Folks, study history. That is a Marxist tactic. It's one of the very first things that a Marxist dictatorship will do, for all of the private companies and federalize them. So that's being suggested to Donald Trump. And I do take note with special interest that in just the last week, Donald Trump has announced that he is moving under the War Powers Act. This gives the federal government broad power and authority to make all kinds of decisions that are typically only within the federal government's purview during, you know, a world war or some other catastrophic event. So we're standing at a very important moment in time, and it's happening as an astonishing level of Americans say, and this especially goes out to the millennial generation who are saying that they're willing to give up their freedom for a socialist Marxist system. In fact, a recent poll found that more than 70% of Americans now between the ages of 23 and 38 are likely to vote for a socialist in the presidential election in 2020. My heart breaks for these young people as they've been brought up in, you know, academic and scholastic systems that have not taught world or American history, and they're completely unaware of what socialism, Marxism ultimately leads to. But it's definitely the first mega step towards initiating a system over which Antichrist, according to Bible prophecy, is going to rule.
And again, I think it's important, Tom, I made the point that most Christians, at least I would say the majority of Christians, I'll leave the actual numbers up to God's ability to discern. The point being is when you talk about prophecy, it automatically puts them into the uncomfort zone. Many of them it puts into the twilight zone. But why is there such an aversion? You know, you were a preacher in the Assembly of God. I was in the Assembly of God pretty much for, I think, 25 years. But, you know, even then they were open to a little, but right now it's not quote unquote fashionable. It's not even, pretty much with few exceptions. It's everybody's trying to excuse the times instead of saying to God, thank you for telling us what the times would be like. Will you address that? Cause that's a huge, huge problem.
Absolutely. So here we are, right? Here we are in the middle of a global chaotic situation. But here in the United States, in the middle of a campaign season in which one of America's two main political parties is dominated by presidential candidates who seem to be competing with one another to present the most unaffordable, unsustainable, frankly unrealistic policy proposals. That is now systematically being embraced by those who call themselves the leaders of Christianity. Much of Christianity today, the talking heads for the religious left, if you will, are celebrating the fact that we're being promised, you know, everything, free health care, even for coronavirus-infected people coming into the country illegally, that the rest of us will have to pay for, free child care, free abortions for those that don't want to be bothered with children, free college, free guaranteed jobs, guaranteed incomes. Note that the government right now is talking about sending out these $1,000 and $2,000 checks. If that's a temporary thing, then I can go along with that. I understand that. But if we're talking about a guaranteed income for people that don't even want to have to work, affordable housing. So this means you're going to mandate the people who own rental properties and housings that they can't charge rent over and above whatever the government mandates, instead as opposed to whatever the market would determine. Reparations for a variety of groups with all kinds of political correctness grievances. And that doesn't even scratch the surface, by the way, of the mind-bogglingly ignorant pie-in-the-sky Green New Deal, which is so ludicrous that even liberal pundits are admitting that it's going to put their presidential candidates in trouble if they speak of it publicly. Just don't talk about it until you're elected, and then we'll begin the implementation of what's going to absolutely wreck the economy for decades to come. And yet much of this is being embraced by the Christian left. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment if I get a chance. But it brings us back to the big question. If these mostly Democrat right now socialist ideas are so terrible, so dangerous, could literally lead to a dictatorship similar to past failed Marxist and socialist nations, why is all of a sudden this on the horizon for everybody with 70% of millennials in support of it and more than 50% of all Americans across the board in support of this? Well, I would argue, number one, that evil supernaturalism, defined in the Bible as coming to power in the end time, is behind the sudden acceleration towards this Antichrist system coming world order. And number two, I have for years predicted, and more lately in the last couple of years, and then especially in the book Shadowland, what I've called a trigger event, or a series of trigger events. That would bring the world to its knees in willingness for somebody or something, Steve, to deliver us all. Now, here's the question. Some in the media have been taking me out of context. Several of them literally changed what I said on the Jim Baker show last week, and they're saying Tom Horn says coronavirus is the mark of the beast. Well, of course, that's BS. I never said that. What I did say, however, is will something like coronavirus or some other pandemic be the fulfillment of Revelation 13:16, which says, and he, that is the Antichrist, causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. The phrasing in that text has always engaged my, my small mental acuity to try to determine how in the world could Antichrist cause all. That's a verb in the Greek. It's poieo. And it means that something is set in motion. And in this case, on a global scale, by the instigator of an event, in this case, the spirit of Antichrist, which then causes most everybody else to have to respond to it in a particular way. So what could happen? What could the Antichrist do to initiate that kind of a majority of the global population making this sudden decision to accept his mark? It would have to be something extraordinary to put so many so much pressure on freedom-loving people, especially here in the United States and in Judeo-Christian culture, to cause them to lay aside personal freedoms like we're seeing right now, and ultimately, if it is the mark of the beast, their eternal salvation, in exchange for some kind of Orwellian society where one world government oversees the smallest details of their lives and in which human liberty is abandoned. Now listen to me, 70% of millennials saying they're willing to give it all up to live in a socialist, Marxist state. Whatever happened to the cherished idea of free moral agency, right? How do you eradicate that? Well, it's no easy task. It necessitates some kind of global scale incident to set in motion the man of sin's cause. And I believe, and this is what I said on the Jim Baker Show and on Skywatch TV, I believe that a natural or a manufactured global pandemic, if it is not top of my list, it's near it, but right now and for the last decade has been the top of my list. I think it is the most likely situation, the most likely scenario that is going to ultimately lead to a mandated vaccine or something that the scriptures foresaw and described as the mark of the beast.
Well, I think too, Tom, with the economic system co-equally failing at this time, and it's failing. I think, Doug, what most people don't recognize is all the capital that was built by our fathers, my age, I'm 68, going on 69, the amount of capital that has been built up by our hardworking ancestors, I'm just talking about going back to the Industrial Revolution, is being squandered. It's being packaged. It's been sold so many times that everything that ever was and ever will have value is already mortgaged. So I see what is on the horizon. And when they're talking about an internal type of biometric a warning, if you will, an implant that can tell the authorities whether you've had the coronavirus shot or not, the vaccine, I think what is, I'm going to call this, Tom, you're going to love this in response to Shadowland. I'm calling this the world's Nero moment for Christians, N-E-R-O, as in he, the Roman emperor, who burned down Rome, and basically who did he blame it on? The Christians. And I think, isn't it true that basically those who have taken you out of context are already saying the Christians openly and by inference are going to be responsible for this pandemic, and therefore what happens? We have to be taken out. Does that line of thought coincide with what you've been experiencing?
Yeah, it absolutely does. So, again, last week, both on Skywatch TV and also on the Jim Baker Show, I made reference to what I just said a moment ago about how a pandemic could give rise to the mark of the beast. And immediately, some of these major media outlets like Newsweek out there, putting my face out there and saying that I'm saying this is the mark of the beast. And but some of one of the other news sites, and by the way, I won't even name it, but they claim to be a Christian news source, but they featured a picture of me and Jim Baker, and under it they're saying, oh, great. Now, here's this guy, Tom Horn, and he's out there saying this could be the mark of the beast. And so guess what's going to happen, folks? The government's going to come up with a vaccine that could cure you, but tons of people are not going to take the vaccine because they're going to be afraid that it's the mark of the beast now. And this guy, Tom Horn, is going to be the cause of a whole lot of people that are going to die as a result. So you can see what they're doing. They are taking whatever we say, and they're twisting it, they're castigating us, they're trying to, hone in on the true prophets of God, in order to make us look like the bad guys, so that very soon, and we all know how close we are to this right now anyway, there's already a ton of shadow banning. Half the posts that go up on our Facebook account, when people click on it, it won't even go to the article because Facebook is, you know, causing the link, whatever it is they do, to be dead or whatever, so that people cannot get to the story. So this is already kind of happening right now, but it is going to get much worse in the near future. The Antichrist has a false prophet who has a false religious system. They're going to be the ones who are allowed to speak in terms of religious tones, to speak for the government, for the Antichrist. But people like us, there's a different plan in place, and it's going to mean that we are going to be dead. Now, by the way, something that just came to me a moment ago, I'm going to jump off and then right back onto the subject matter here. But while you were talking, Steve, it made me think that this huge push to divest from China, I'd like to hear Doug talk about this too, could be the second trigger event. Because don't forget, something causes who Bible scholars believe is China to act out of desperation and become the king of the East in Revelation 9. And a lot of people have been saying, well, you know, China would never stop the inflow of antibiotics into the United States, which their ambassador threatened to do a few weeks ago now. But they would never let that happen because they depend so much on America and Americans, and our government contracts with them to produce all of the stuff that we're buying from them. So we're this great whore, I guess, you know, that may have been described in the book of Revelation, that they're doing, you know, work with the merchants of the sea and all that. So China is never going to, you know, just full frontal attack the United States because they depend on us and our wealth. But now, think about this. There are bills that are going before Congress this week to begin divesting from China, to put the United States in a place where we no longer depend on China for much of our products. Well, you know, on the one hand, that's great. I'd love to see us do that because I don't like being, you know, in this sense, you know, dependent upon China for some of our necessary goods. But if we abandon them and we're their great source of income and business, maybe we put them in a position where they fulfill Revelation 9. I'll jump right back over onto the Christian side of this in a moment, but that just came to me and I wondered what you guys, Doug, what you and Steve think. Is that a possibility?
Go ahead, Doug.
The short answer, at least in my view, to that is yes. And here's look, I look back over the years. I look back at the Kissinger-Nixon diplomacy that began, that opened the door to China, at least at in its current phase. And then I look at what the Clintons have done, both overtly and covertly. And I think that we have to look at this not as a singular issue of Chinese import and export, or export and import, depending on, you know, how you want to talk about this, but as a course of conduct. Like I always say, that, you know, somebody, if you arrest someone, you look at their course of criminal conduct. And this is what we're seeing, I think, in a larger sense. So the fact that this originated, the coronavirus originated in China, to me, the timing has not been lost. When you look at the trade deal, the correcting of the by Donald Trump, correcting the deficits, this is almost like gangland stuff, where you've got, and I don't want to be verbose about this, Steve and Tom, but really, I think it deserves an explanation. When you've got kind of like in the Godfather movies, when you've got all of the business, you know, being conducted by this one family, and if you don't deal with that family, then you're in a whole world of hurt. This is what I kind of see with China. Now, you couple that with the secrets, the military stuff that China has obtained, compliments of the Clintons and others, then you have a force multiplier in that respect. So we have built China up militarily, while they are charging us out the wazoo for our imports, and what we export to them, they are pretty much taking advantage of us. Donald Trump comes in and says, no, we got to fix this. And then all of a sudden, here we are. Now we've got this issue with this Wuhan Chinese coronavirus. Timing, interesting. Can I prove it? No, but I'll tell you what. I don't like what I'm seeing. Does that answer your question, or did I just?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just oh, it really does, and I do apologize for, you know, a little bit of jumping back and forth, and I promise the audience that in a moment I will finish the two open subject matters that I started talking about and leaped off of, but that had just come to me because that too has been a question for a long time. You know, if we have such a great relationship with China, what would cause them to fulfill the Revelation 9, you know, basically a declaration of war, the kings of the East, against, you know, Israel, which is, you know, our friend in the Middle East, which would then mean against the United States. What could cause that to happen if they're so dependent upon us? And now we see this big push to divest from investments in China.
And Steve, if I can interject this, Steve and I were talking yesterday off air. Steve, I'm so glad you talked about this. China can't feed its people, period. And you could put a flipping big period right over that sentence. I remember back in 78, 79, there were bumper stickers, and I had one on my car, and this related to Russia, the communist Russia, a barrel of oil for a bushel of wheat. And this is kind of the same thing we're seeing today without the acquiescence by our government to a communist dictatorship that at that time, the USSR. So go ahead, Steve.
Well, I think that the problem is most Westerners don't understand how China sees the United States. Their generals, they've written white papers, they've written pronouncements that if every man, woman, and child is done away with through weapons of war, which biologicals play a big part in, they have no constraint or it doesn't bother their conscience. The reason why that is China believes it's their destiny to rule the world. Also, it's interesting that they claim, as Tom would know, and I think I've said this to the audience, the Chinese believe they are the descendants of the sky dragon. They came from the dragon in the sky. Seems to me some of the people that we're seeing in entities in the book of Revelation are the dragons that are coming back from the sky. That's just a quick point of reference. But the Chinese white papers talk specifically about their plans to attack. They never use a singular bioweapon. They use a three, like almost a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich version. They use an initiatory bioweapon that has a extended incubation period. Then just when the symptoms start showing up and the carrier, if they're a super spreader, in other words, the carrier's immunological system is strong enough to block it, but isn't strong enough to keep them from becoming, you know, super carriers and shredding the virus. Then they followed up with a second virus. And from my sources, who, by the way, I'm getting challenged every day on, they're saying point blank, look, Z1 virus is absolutely a secondary virus that's designed to pick up after the first virus, and that's what's causing reinfection. Well, you think about if someone gets over virus number one to become reinfected with virus number two, that kind of goes against the laws of immunology and also common sense. So when the Chinese white papers go into great detail how it's going to be a threefold attack, even yesterday, China said that if the U.S. military doesn't get out of the Chinese, South China Sea, they're going to basically hit our military assets, our naval assets, with an EMP. And first of all, they said a nuclear weapon. Then they changed it to, well, we have lasers, too, that can do the same thing. So, Tom, I think the kings of the East are very much in play. Japan has just fielded one of the most sophisticated submarines in the world that uses lithium batteries. And there's nothing like it. The range has never been achieved. It's the most silent submarine and deadly. The Japanese don't say much, but they have incredible weaponry that even I think would make the Pentagon blush. And Japan doesn't tell anybody everything. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, Steve, and I have not read it yet, but there was a headline, and I actually set it aside to read after we do this program, in which it said coronavirus is not one virus, it's actually three viruses. I don't know if you saw that, and I don't know what the sourcing for that is, but it's very interesting that you bring that up. It's also interesting, Doug, that you bring up the connection between the Clinton's crime family and China, And maybe in the second hour when we get time, we'll come back and we'll talk about some of that, because there is significant occultism at operation here. And I'm not just talking about superficial stuff. I'm talking about all the way over to human sacrifice, because I believe that they are trying to call forth the spirits of the underworld now for this system. But if I get a chance, I'll talk about that in the second hour. I know we're going to go to a break in 10 or 15 minutes or whatever it is. Let me see. I have two open questions that Steve asked me. One has to do with, Christians turning against Christians, and I do want to say some things about that, because that too is prophetic. But then I want to finish what I was going to say about how a pandemic could lead to the mark of the beast. I started it. I didn't finish it. Here's what I want to say. According to the Global Health Security, or the GHS Index, which was compiled by scientists from Johns Hopkins University Center for Health Security and the Nuclear Threat Initiative, a deadly pandemic influenza could kill 80 million people worldwide or more. Now, many of the listeners maybe are familiar with this idea. This goes back to a few years ago when the World Health Organization was doing this hypothetical study into what they called Disease X. And much of coronavirus fulfills the scenario. Reportedly, it began with animals, bats, that kind of thing, moved over, and somebody in a lab in Wuhan, China, caught it. Then it somehow escaped the lab. It got out of the wider population. All of that. Whatever the scenario is, there, if we are to believe the Book of Revelation, then a worldwide disease, or diseases, plural, are coming. Revelation 6:8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And we are rushing right now to try to get a book out called, well, I won't give you the title because somebody would steal it and put out some cheap version of it, but it's going to deal with this verse. A pale horse, his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death. And then it says this, and with the beasts of the earth. What an interesting statement. I mean, are people going to be attacked by a bunch of mountain lions, or is this talking about something else? The word there, beast, is therion, which frankly can be translated tiny beast or miniature beast. A diminutive of thera, or beast, and literally means potentially microscopic beast. Now, in Revelation 13, it's also referred, just to refer to the man of sin, implying brutality and savagery, what he sets loose upon the earth. But in the context of Thanatos' arsenal, it is most accurately portrayed as infectious disease, microscopic beasts that are unleashed upon the earth, or perhaps, by the way, a legion of plagues that act as one to infect entire populations and eventually slay one-fourth of mankind. Right until this program came on, I was watching today's press statement from Donald Trump and the health people that he has around him right now, and they were talking about how a concoction of the malaria drug and some other things might turn out to be part of the cure. But then they went on to emphasize, however, there's not going to be a vaccine for 18 months. This is all stuff that we know. But then the main doctor that they have now that's over all of this, he said that what people need to do is do everything they can do to eat right and to do everything they can do to embolden their natural immunity, so that perhaps they might not get the contagion in the first place. And when Steve Quayle and I recorded programs yesterday, Steve brought this up, and a lot of you may know that Steve's wife is an expert on health and nutrition. She's been a fabulous resource for Joe and Daniel Belt and others that have been building Eden's Essentials. Just really a fantastic, highly intelligent individual that's helped Joe a lot during his health challenges over the last few years. But when he brought that up, it reminded me of something we talked about in the programs we recorded for Skywatch TV, and that is that the government's own website, to which these authorities are referring, the National Institute of Health published an article in which they, of all things, by the way, and for people that want to read the article, go to Google, type in anti-inflammatory and immunomodulating properties of fungal metabolite. This is interesting. What is all that talking about? It's talking about fermented mushrooms. And how government studies and university studies have redundantly shown that fermented mushrooms can significantly embolden your natural immunity against viruses. But the article there at the NIH goes into all kinds of stuff, how it can help with autoimmune diseases and just all this other stuff. So I would really encourage people to check out the fermented mushrooms at Eden's Essentials. We made a deal with the largest producer in the world that produces the cleanest natural organic products in the world, but there is no guarantee whatsoever that that product is going to be available in the near future. We bought everything they had in their warehouse, and they are giving us preferential treatment on new manufacturing of these products because we are their largest distributor, and that all, by the way, in 1 month period of time. But if you go online right now and you start typing in fermented mushrooms, you're going to find store out of store where it says sold out, and we have no idea when we're going to get more. Now, don't forget that for years, Steve Quayle, Doug Hagman, Tom Horn, we've been telling you, you need to prepare. Make sure you have food. Make sure you have a way of purifying water. Make sure you have natural products that can embolden your immune system. Do it. Do it now. Don't wait until you find yourself in an absolute catastrophe where you have no method for survival. Well, it turns out Steve Quayle and people like him who've been preaching this sermon for decades are the smartest people on earth now. And there's major headlines out there now talking about how the preppers had it right all along. But I would strongly encourage you to do that. I can give you personal testimony, and then I promise I'm going to get back on my point. A year and a half ago, I go to my doctor. He says, we can no longer control your diabetes with metformin. We're going to have to put you on insulin injections. I hated that idea. I went to my son. He put me on curcumin, and he put me on fermented, it's the root that curcumin is derived from. It'll come back to me in a moment. But he put me on those products. I went back a few months later. My doctor says, you're pre-diabetic. Your A1C is perfect. You don't have diabetes as far as your blood count's concerned. It's in the 80s. So now, fast forward to about a month ago now, and I had this lingering stomach virus. I have no idea what it is, but I had not taken antibiotics in 2 years. But this had gone on. And I hate to think, by the way, this might have even been coronavirus, because that's the way some people get it. My wife had it at the same time, too. And finally, after 10 days, I went to Joe and Daniel Belt, who is the product manager developer for Eden's Essentials, and I told him what was going on. And both of them said, man, you need to be taking fermented mushrooms. So, you know, I'm a skeptic. They gave me a bottle of fermented mushrooms powder. I went home. I put a scoop of it in my food. By that evening, son of a gun, I'm feeling better. And I'm thinking, now, is that like the biggest coincidence in the world? And then by the next day, I did it again. And by that evening, whatever it was, I have no idea, but it was gone. I'm not saying it was coronavirus. It was a stomach virus of some kind. But it was gone, and it has stayed gone. And that was what caused me to go online and start researching this, and I found out that the U.S. government's website at the National Institute of Health celebrates fermented mushrooms as being so powerful against viral infection. So I'm just encouraging you to check that out, because we bought everything they had, but there is absolutely no promise that we're not going to sell out, and there is not going to be any more for a long time, because everybody is scrambling to get product. Okay, I jumped offline. Now, in light of how politicians are already weaponizing coronavirus fears as a useful political tool with those who are going to die, and they view them as a necessary collateral damage for their dictatorial aspiration, which portends this near future in which a man of superior intelligence, wit, charm, diplomacy is going to emerge on the world scene as a savior. On the Jim Baker show last week, I also tried to make the point that Antichrist is going to play into all this messianic angle. He's going to do it very cleverly. Let me give you these before we go to, on a break. These similarities, because I want you to watch for these. The world right now is being brought to its knees. The world is already asking for a man, for a government, for somebody to step forward now and save us all from ourselves. Notice what the Bible tells us about the contrast between the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, and the false Messiah. As Jesus was the Son of God, operated in the power of his Father, so too Antichrist is going to be the son of perdition, the manifestation of the power of Apollo. As Jesus did miracles, Antichrist is going to perform lying signs and wonders. As Jesus triumphantly entered into Jerusalem, Antichrist is going to focus the seat of his authority from the holy city. As Jesus was crucified, rose from the dead, Antichrist will be killed and come back to life. As Jesus is part of the Holy Trinity, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Father, Antichrist is part of an unholy Trinity made up of Satan, himself, and the false prophet. Now, those comparisons, they go on, and you can look up these lists online and discover these long enumerations of amazing mirror contrast between the Son of God and Satan's incoming seed, which illustrates, of course, the devil's jealousy of God. It's infamous. His cravings to usurp, plagiarize, draw analogies between himself and the Almighty's magnificent, it's limitless. But I believe that the most startling of such dark semblances has not been witnessed yet. It belongs to a near future scenario that most people have never imagined. It could be related to the coronavirus. I outline it in the book Shadowland. By the way, with Shadowland, well, I'll talk about that maybe later if I get a chance. But it involves a false communion. Jesus told his followers in John 6:53, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall have no life in you, on which the symbolic ordinance of sacramental communion with God is based during Christian communion, Christian worship, at which time bread and wine are consecrated, shared, like was part of the Last Supper. I believe that a scenario during the reign of Antichrist could provide for a demonic communion that results in mankind partaking of the flesh and blood of Satan's son. Very quickly, how could that be so? I'll give you a mental gymnastic here that will help you to imagine this. If you watch the film I Am Legend, starring Will Smith, it opens with a scientist announcing the cure to cancer using a genetically engineered chimeric vaccine. Man, have Steve Quayle and I and Doug Hagman done a lot of shows on that in the past involving transhumanism. But this chimeric vaccine, it blends animal and human genetics in order to produce a universal antidote to this malady, because animals have been shown to be more resilient to cancer. And in the movie, almost everybody receives this so-called cure, this inoculation, this vaccine. And everybody celebrates, but then the scene changes, and now you observe how this remedy has actually resulted in a human form of rabies, a crossover from the animal kingdom into the human kingdom, which is exactly what people are saying now is the result of coronavirus, a virus crossing over from the animal to the human, crossing the human species barrier. In the movie, it wipes out most life on Earth, which is a real possibility given the scenario. And then a critical part of the film is this character that is played by Will Smith, the actor. And his character in the film, for some reason, is the only human alive from the global, that is immune to the global contagion. And a new vaccine is derived from his blood that provides a cure for this disease. Now, fast forward to the time of the Antichrist. This was the point I really tried to make on Jim Baker. Don't know if I did. But imagine how a similar pandemic, a worldwide plague, a coronavirus of some kind, could suddenly develop or be engineered by agents of the man then as a bioweapon. That's one thing we haven't fully talked about, but Doug referred to it a moment ago. Did that happen in Wuhan, China? But this brings the world to its knees. Tens of millions of people are dying in the worst black death ever seen. Then suddenly, a single man, the son of perdition, comes forward to reveal that his blood, like the Will Smith character in the Hollywood blockbuster, is impervious to the disease, holds the key to the cure, a vaccine is manufactured from his plasma, and the world is faced with a decision. Accept the vaccine, this mark derived from the blood of the beast, or die alongside every other person that rejects the offer, including your family and friends. Partake in the black communion by accepting the genetics of the son of sin, or die as described in the book of Revelation. I believe that that is coming. If it's not now, it's coming. If it's not now, it could be next year. It could be the year after. This triple virus Steve Quayle mentioned a moment ago could mutate into something even worse than coronavirus. I believe that that is coming, and I'm sharing it with the world now because me, Steve Quayle, Doug Hagman, we don't really even know how much more time we have to be able to speak openly to the world and warn you about what is coming. We have a prophetic calling. This is what we've been tasked to do.
Amen. And with that, folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report. Very special guest, Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, Tom Horn, Skywatch TV. As always, the links will be in the program description box at Hagman Report Live. Not on YouTube, not on Spreaker, not on iHeart, not on iTunes, not on iBot, iWhatever. It's on HagmanReportLive.com. You're listening to the Hagman Report. I'll be right back after this. Stay right where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Hagman Report. Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. You're listening to two of my favorite people, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, Tom Horn, Skywatch TV. The links will be in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. Talking about the shadows behind this coronavirus and the agenda. It's not just talking about the virus, but the agenda behind it, as very well, really, really well done in this book, Shadowland. By the way, it's not about the coronavirus, but about the people, the agents of nefarious change, pushing for a global dominance. And this book, Shadowland, is really, it just knocked it out of the park. And that's by Tom Horn. And folks, go to HagmanReportLive.com. The link to this and others are right there, as well as on your TV screen, your computer screen. You're seeing it. I'm going to kick this right over to Steve Quayle. Steve, go ahead. Take it.
Well, I think as Tom referred to the movie I, Legend with Will Smith, if the people will think back a little earlier in the history of the genre of that sort of theme in science fiction, the Omega Man with Charlton Heston was a great example. At the very closing scene of that, he's in a crucifix position. His blood is spilling out into the fountain, as in the Fountain of Life. And I don't know if you remember that show, Doug or Tom, but I would recommend most people go see it. When I say go see it, they have to, you know, rent it if it's available or watch it on YouTube. But it's called The Omega Man. Notice the title, The Omega Man. Then the other thing I think, Tom, I want to address really, it's important. Within the first, I don't know, 6 months, maybe less than that, when I started on radio, I made the statement that I felt like one of the signs of the end times and great tribulations, plural, for the Christians would be when cannibalism fills the headlines of the day and the world's major volcanoes all start erupting simultaneously. And I always leave off the other thing that I found it and I've said it a couple times, but when the Catholic Church goes to war with the true faithful in the Catholic Church and against the liberation theologians, and that's what we're seeing now. And I also made the statement that same period of time that Islam and Catholicism would merge. It's interesting. I've seen the Pope kiss the Quran. I think everybody has, but always denigrate Jesus, always speak out against the Ten Commandments, always take an anti-Christian viewpoint of the very redemption of Jesus. You know, Tom, you know this way better than any of us, I would say. The war, that the internal war within the Catholic Church is at some point going to spill out into the streets, is it not?
Well, absolutely. And of course, this Pope is a socialist. He's a Marxist. That's part of his history. That's part of his background. And I can't tell you the number, and it's a lot of very conservative Catholics that have emailed me, and they say, hey, we think maybe you hit the nail on the head with you and Chris Putnam and that book, Petrus Romanus. We think this guy, we think he might be the final pope, as in the false prophet that is going to help the Antichrist come to power. And just look over the last few years at the number of times that this pope has stood up in opposition to free market capitalism, basically what made America the most powerful nation on the face of the earth and benefited everybody worldwide, and has been pushing for socialism. And so I think you're right, Steve. Another part of this is the kind of schism, because this is what I'm picking up from these conservative and even, what do they call them, Pentecostal, what do they call them, charismatic Catholics that have been emailing me. The ones that claim that they are in tune with the Spirit and they are hearing from God and they have a prophetic utterance, they are terrified of this current pope. And some of their own theologians at the highest level, Opus Dei level, Catholic, Vatican theologians, saying that Pope Francis, I've called him Petrus Romanus for so long I almost can't say his name, that Pope Francis is guiding the church into the arms of Antichrist and into an end times system. Some of their top people are saying that. It's the most extraordinary time in history. And however, they do believe what I also believe, and that is that the schism that is being created, the division, the line in the sand that is being drawn between Christian versus Christian, what I wrote about, right, in Blood on the Altar, this is moving toward a critical point. I mean, Billy Graham must be rolling over in his grave, right? The guy that started Christianity Today, to see the stuff that those people are publishing. There's others out there that give me a break. I mentioned Christianity Today, probably shouldn't have. There's others. I'm not even going to mention them. Ye shall know them by their fruits. But the stuff that they are doing and saying is playing right into the hands of an end-time mercenary of global proportions named the Antichrist, who is not going to bat an eye, and neither will his false prophet, in the death of true, born-again, conservative believers. So set aside, you know, the Christ-haters like Right Wing Watch and those people, the fake Christian troll site, that I could name, they are gunning for the true prophets of God to be silenced and eliminated. And they are doing what they can do right now to castigate Steve Quayle, Doug Hagman, Tom Horn, and anybody else like us, in such a way that it is their hope that the powers of the state and the federal governments or the new coming government are going to silence us, in the sense that they're going to shut us down, they're going to take us off of television, they're going to try to do what they can do to stop us from publishing our books and works. It is going to be an all-out war on true Christianity. And for real students of prophecy, I don't think they're going to find that a surprise. Not only is it predictable, it was prophesied. It's a prelude to a period in history that true believers are going to be, Revelation 24, beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God and for not worshiping the beast, neither his image, neither receiving his mark upon their forehead or in their hand. That time is coming. And when you discuss that end time scenario, and in particular the subject of rigorous persecution, what is often overlooked is the role that religious Christians are being shaped today to play against the true body of Christ. I mean, even the concept of what I have predicted in Shadowland, involving a coming war between this kind of Christian versus that kind of Christian, for a lot of people really seems beyond credulity. If it were not for what the inspired texts themselves convey. Jesus predicted a time. There's a lot of people out there that are Christians that don't even know that Jesus said this. He said, there is coming a time when whosoever kills you will think that he is doing God service. Imagine how extraordinarily tortured that logic is. That the day will come when what? Denominations, religious organizations, Christian evangelists, whatever. They're going to actually think that they are in the ministry by torturing and killing those who are true followers of Jesus Christ. And in Matthew 24, Jesus said to his disciples, 24:9-12, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all groups of people for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another, shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Elsewhere in the Bible, it describes this coming era of great tribulation as when the Antichrist is going to have power, Revelation 13:7 and Daniel 7:21, to, quote, make war with the saints and to overcome them. That's not something that prosperity gospel preachers ever talk about. They don't want to think about that. But, ladies and gentlemen, it is absolutely a part of prophecy. Immediately following those verses, it speaks of a second beast. This is, according to some of my Catholic friends, maybe Pope Francis, but a beast with two horns like a lamb who speaks as a dragon, Revelation 13:11. And, you know, most evangelical scholars identify that second beast as the leader of the end times religious institution who's going to be under Satan's control, because this phrase, like a lamb, indicates he's going to pretend to represent the Lamb of God in the Christian church, while the expression speaks as a dragon identifies what Steve Quayle was saying a moment ago, perhaps about the origin of the Chinese, individuals that identify this devilish source of his authority and power. So there's a final global super church leader who's coming, and he is going to be a murderer, not unlike the Antichrist, and cause that, Revelation 13:15, as many as will not worship the image of the beast must be killed. So the book of Revelation outlines how the political figure of Antichrist derives ultranational dominance from, guess what, the world's religious people, through the influence of fake Christianity and of an ecclesiastical leader called the false prophet, who is not going to hesitate to swim in the blood of genuine saints of God. Now, I should point out here, in the days between now and when these men of sin are identified, this reality that Latter-day churchgoers could soon believe that they are serving the kingdom of God by participating in or approving the death of conservative Christians, this is something we point out on the broadcast programs on Skywatch TV coming in the next few weeks that we recorded yesterday with Steve Quayle and Derek Gilbert, that this is not a concept lost on historically, on true churchmen. There are those who saw these things taking shape and a coming war that eventually is going to pit religious, quote, Christians, real members of the body of Christ. That includes people like Dr. J. Vernon McGee, one of America's most beloved Bible teachers of the past century, who taught that true biblical believers are ultimately going to be driven underground by none other, he said, than latter-day denominational churches. Another of the 20th century's most perceptive writers, a pastor and author, A.W. Tozer, who was not usually given to prognostication, a point I made on the shows we recorded yesterday, who wrote this, let me quote it, Let me go out on a limb a little bit and prophesy. I see the time coming when all the holy men whose eyes have been opened by the Holy Spirit will desert worldly evangelism one by one, because the house, the institutional Christianity, will be left desolate. And there will not be a man of God, a man in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, left among them, end quote. So, as we speak, we have Holy Spirit devoid church attenders. Between me, Steve, and Doug alone, we're talking in the tens of thousands, right? Are bitter. Their spirits are demonically infused with religion. And these are the ones that are going to constitute Antichrist, apostate religious political order connected to Mystery Babylon. By the way, earlier Doug mentioned Hillary Clinton. We could go into how that might also connect to Mystery Babylon in Revelation chapter 17. But that said, as unfathomable as all this may sound, these are going to formulate the most egregious rank among the man of sin's Gestapo members in their appetite for destroying Latter-day truly born-again believers. Please hear me as you're listening to this interview. This is coming. It's coming quick. You need to get ready, and you're going to have to draw your own line in the sand and know what side of that line you are on. I know a lot of people think this is impossible, but tell that to the train loads of Jews that vanished between the brutality of Nazi Germany members who maintained that they were Protestant in their faith, or the hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children that died since the days of Christ's crucifixion and the martyrdom of his disciples at the hands of institutional church authorities and holy temple leaders. The European wars of religion, the 16th, 17th centuries, the 7th to 19th centuries under the Crusades, the Spanish Reconquista, the Ottoman wars in Europe, the Inquisition of the Roman Catholic Church. This is part of history. It happened once. The Bible says it's going to happen again, because now what was old is new again. And there is a militant spirit of evil that is pushing through the veil toward a final supernatural conflict in which blood is going to flow to the horse's bridle, and violent clashes over matters of faith are going to come to the boiling point around the globe, I believe.
Well, I believe that too, and Doug, I know that we've talked about blood on the altar, and ladies and gentlemen, I wrote the introduction to that book, I don't know how many years ago, Tom, but I said the premise and the preface to the book, or the introduction, I guess is more correct, I said there's two wars coming that they're coming in the house of faith, meaning in people's homes, and then on the household of faith. And listen, unbelief will always persecute. It's been from the times that you just laid it out. Unbelief will always persecute those who hold a faith in Jesus and trust him. Jesus said they hated him. They hated me, Jesus speaking. Excuse me. Without a cause, they'll hate you. They persecuted me. They persecuted him. They persecuted him. They'll persecute us. And so the thing is that I think that that's going to be the dividing line. And we see our brethren slaughtered. We see our little brothers and sisters in Jesus. By the way, that's the firstborn. Most people said, well, if your analogy of Exodus is right and plague of darkness follows, maybe we should talk about it, because a shadow is a forerunner of darkness. And when Tom lays out the occult and mystical roots of shadows, wait until the darkness falls. But, you know, instantly, Tom, you know what? Rachel wept for her children because they were not. America's Christians don't even weep for the firstborns. The abortions, everybody, most of them, probably 99%, are the firstborn. So the devil reversed the order and just mocked God there, too. Do you get that, Doug? Am I speaking correctly, Tom?
Yes, absolutely.
So the blood, it is an issue of blood. For us, the Christians, it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For us Christians, it's the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I will just say this, Tom, with the lack of people willing to stand up for Jesus, but to lay down before with the Antichrist, i.e. the Pope, I don't know if you saw the story, it just came into me. One world church, all regions, signed the agreement they got together, the One World Church, and they all signed on, and you could see all the mystics and the talismans and everything else. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to – how do I say this? It's not that it's coming upon you. It's already sprung upon you, and that's why we've got to go. Can we go into, Tom, all of the occult activity? Because the occult activity is off the charts, and we're talking about a darkness that's descending on the land that people can now feel. I just had a person just tell me that. What's this evil I feel? Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, okay, so I will. And by the way, that is – the whole purpose of the book Shadowland, which Doug has read over the last few days, I'm not sure if you've had a chance yet to read it, Steve. It's accumulating dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of five-star reviews at Amazon. I can't tell you the hundreds of emails that I've received from people, because no book has ever been written like this before. I've never written any book like this before. I want people to be able to get this book, and as you know, at Skywatch TV, Defender Publishing, we always do these Uber deals, especially for, you know, when we go on Doug's, the Hagman Report. What I want people to know is you've never read anything like this before. We'll talk about some of the points in that in just a moment. But go to SkywatchTVStore.com, SkywatchTVStore.com. Click on New Arrivals, and you'll see it as the first ad in there, the Shadowland Ultimate Collection. There's also a link that Doug was so gracious to put on his website. You're going to receive the book, of course, Shadowland. When you buy the book, you're going to get the book, but you're also going to get a five-part television series going into a lot of the information in the book. You're going to get Carl Gallup's new book, Masquerade, Prepare for the Greatest Con Job in History, that relates to this. You're going to get Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, our friend whose day job is a senior analyst at the Pentagon, talking about progressive evil and the role that socialism, Marxism is going to play in all this. But you're also going to get 70 other of our top-selling books free, and more than anything else, and if you pay no attention to anything else, pay attention to this. You're also going to get my free, world-exclusive, four-hour expose on the hidden occultism of Epstein's Orgy Island. Nothing like this has ever been published. You're not going to find this information anywhere else on the internet. It follows a 2-year investigative background. And so this is me, by the way, Doug, this is me trying to be you, being an investigator, but a 2-year background investigation with intel from government and occult insiders, in which I produced this 4-hour series. I couldn't put all this stuff in the book. And frankly, the Skywatch TV, I wanted to talk about some of this on TV. The Skywatch TV people told me, don't do it. That you're going to get taken off of television if you talk about this on television. And sure enough, by the way, just hinting at it, Doug and Steve, and this goes to kind of support what we were talking about a moment ago, just hinting at what was going on with Hillary Clinton, other elitists in Washington, D.C., Jeffrey Epstein on Epstein's Island, just hinting at it got me kicked off the top Christian television network. So we know, again, you know, this is all coming, but I'm going to give it to you free. So here's the deal. The hidden occultism of Epstein's Orgy Island isn't just about Epstein and Orgy Island. It's a lot about that, but it's also a lot from the body count lists of the various crime families all the way over to what was happening on that island. We have exclusive high-resolution drone footage that I acquired, and by the way, the guy that got this footage had to remain anonymous because he could get in serious trouble, but we got him to do this. He flew over Epstein's Orgy Island, got me high-resolution footage of the occult artifacts that are on that island, and many of these only have one historical purpose for use. So maybe we'll get a chance in a moment to go over that, but let me just get past this pitch, if you will. Make the $35 donation, get the books. You're going to get 70 other books. Actually, you're going to get 73 other books, and I'm going to send you the 4-hour series on the demonic atrocities that were going on at Epstein Island who the high-powered individuals were. Yeah, I named them, participating in the darkest activity that unfolded there. And the reason this is not on TV is Skywatch TV's leadership told me the contents are too mind-boggling, going to get me kicked off TV if I do it. So go to SkywatchTVStore.com. It's, and by the way, we added up the retail value of what we're giving away, over $800. Over $800. Go to SkywatchTVStore.com, get the Shadowland book. We're going to send all this stuff to you right away. It's in the warehouse now. They're shipping it now. I guarantee you, you're going to be happy if you did. If you're not, send it back. We'll give your money back. Nothing like this has ever been published before. So, okay, Steve, this part of the book, Shadowland, is the part that has gotten the most feedback. I don't even know how to cover it in the 30 minutes that we have left. But these Marxist socialist dictator elitists are driven by occult ambition. And it is centered on an ancient plan. What the occult masters like Helena Blavatsky, Manly P. Hall, what they call the secret destiny of America and the Ordo Ab Chao. These are prophecies that go all the way back to the ancient Sibyllines of Apollo that forecast a final golden age rising up from out of the ashes of a global catastrophe like coronavirus. Aleister Crowley, the 33rd degree Freemason, the Satanist that wrote the doctrines followed by those around Hillary Clinton, which we also go into in the book, he often spoke of this as the new age of Horus or the son of Osiris, the breaking dawn of the rebirth of Osiris. All of that language is very telling, given that this has all been predicted. Steve, we went into this on the programs that we just recorded to play on Skywatch TV. It's all been predicted for the longest time. It's referenced by Nancy Pelosi, the Bush family, referencing the Ordo Ab Chao and the Novus Ordo Seclorum on the Great Seal of the United States of America. Bush Jr. saying this is based on an ancient scheme that is meant to be fulfilled. This has been in play now for a few years, and we are reaching the apex, the boiling over point in this. So I'm looking at the clock. I don't think I got time to go into some of this stuff. The Great Seal of the United States, the mottos, the symbolism. We've done shows on all of it before. According to Virgil and the Cumae Sibyl, whose prophecy formed the Novus Ordo Seclorum of the Great Seal, the New World Order is going to begin during a time of global chaos, a time like today. That's when the Son of Promise rises up upon the earth. Apollo incarnate, a pagan savior. In fact, if you read, it makes you wonder, Steve, about who's about to take the global scene. Because the prophecy of the Cumae Sibyl says he will be born of a new breed of men sent down from heaven when heroes and gods are blended together. That sounds eerily similar to what the Watchers did during the creation of the Nephilim and to what we've been talking about on the Hagman Report and with Steve Quayle for the past 20 years, the return of the Nephilim. But that's the prophecy. This it represents the enforcement of secular law, according to this prophecy. So think about, I'm going to just let people go and read it for themselves, because we're going to run out of time. Go read it for yourself. Read the prophecies of the Cumae Sibyl, or ask me for, I'll send them to you myself. And then after you read her prophecy, go look at what New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is calling for right now, and is, I think, according to the Sibyl's conjure, the authority that's going to require global compliance to the zenith of Satan's dominion, concurrent with the coming of Apollo. Don't forget that the Bible was the first one to project this, more than one place in the New Testament. But the Apostle Paul says this coming leader is going to be the son of perdition. The word perdition there is the Greek apolia, which is the word Apollo. Revelation 17:8, the beast will rise up out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, apolia, Apollo. This is the spirit that is going to inhabit the coming of Antichrist. So it's repeat coded in the Great Seal of the United States as the Masonic Messiah who's going to return to rule the earth. But it is the same spirit verified by the same name that the Bible, which is our authority, tells us is going to inhabit the political leader of the end times new world order. And according to key biblical prophecy, this Antichrist is going to be the progeny of the incarnation of the spirit of Apollo. So there's a great deal there. Let me jump forward. While we've made this case on several Hagman reports, Steve Quayle's written numerous books on this subject matter. In fact, Steve, I always give him credit. He was ahead of all of us on this. And even my first books on the subject matter give Steve Quayle credit as being, the forerunner of this revelation, of this knowledge. Now in Shadowland, I try to take it to a whole new level for me and point to shocking discoveries in Washington, D.C., as well as from our high-res drone footage filmed over Jeffrey Epstein's Orgy Island Zorro Ranch, his New Mexico property, and his New York apartment, by the way, tied to human sacrifices. How many know that skulls and the bones of children have been found in the waters in the sea around Epstein's Island? Ritual sex magic. And I provide, by the way, the photographs in the book Shadowland of the devices, the artifacts, that only have one historical context, and that is for making human sacrifice. And I also make the point of how this is tied to the 2020 election ambitions and the coming of a new world order, and I tie it to the names of those that I think are involved. So on Epstein's Island, there is a temple. It is tied to times in the Middle East where sex trafficking and sex slavery was predominant. There are gargoyles all across the island with specific imagery, six-pointed stars and so on shields that have occult significance. There are goddesses that guard the entrances and the exit ways on pathways on that island that are tied to specific occult meaning. The green man on the island. A sundial. By the way, this magnificent giant sundial that in the middle of it has the ancient Masonic man in the middle of it. But guess what it also had? It has 13 seeds. 13 being very important because during the high Sabbat or the witches' covens, serious witches' covens are made up of 13. So for their rituals to be conducted, this sundial, the sundial being dated back to Babylonian times, in which they wanted to be able to watch the movement of their solar deity to whom they were making their human sacrifices, as the dial, remember the dial of Ahaz. Ahaz, of course, also sacrificing his children and other children to these gods. There are also marker stones. These are very significant. I go into it in the book. I provide photographs in the book that mark the open times, the occult times of the sundial. More than anything else, there's a very large berm. And this berm, by the way, takes a significant place in the book, and I'll tell you why. There's a very large berm there, the walls of which are 20 foot tall. There's only one entrance into the berm. Now, this was what got me. When Jeffrey Epstein was arrested, and he knew that investigators were closing in, he sent in these earth movers, crawlers, to go into that berm area and to flatten it all out. And then they installed a big tennis court in over and above the top of it. But it completely doesn't fit. It doesn't even make any sense about why this big tennis court would be out there in the middle of freaking nowhere on this island. But we went back to 2013 and 14, and we obtained images from Google Earth that showed something entirely different in that berm area. A very, very important and significant occult diagram. One entrance into the berm area that then went out and around the entire berm area on the inside of the 20-foot tall walls, which then went to four walkways or points of entry that went into the middle of the berm area where there was a large circle, and inside of that large circle, a square. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is only one significance to that diagram in all of history, and that is where human sacrifices were made. If you go, and it's necromantic, too. It's meant for ritual magic to bring up the spirits of Osiris Apollo out of the underworld in order to implement their coming kingdom.
And if
so,
I,
like,
if
you go to
Tom,
the Vatican.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interject. Yeah, I did mean to interject. I want to say that I think you've found enough to identify forensic elements within that to verify that is exactly what that was used for. And I just want to, without giving a lot of information out, think of an autopsy table, and I'll just leave it at that. And then one other thing, and you can comment on this if you want to, the Maltese cross as well. But go ahead, sir.
Absolutely. So, yeah, you have all these ancient symbols, the Maltese cross. You have, go to the Vatican. And what do you see in the Vatican? Go into St. Peter's Square. Right in the middle of St. Peter's Square, you see the ancient obelisk of Osiris, which was, of course, retrieved from ancient Heliopolis, where it was dedicated to Ra, the sun god. But it stands as the erect phallus. I mean, people might think that that's obscene for me to say that. That's exactly what it was created to do. It's exactly what it represents. And Pope Sixtus, when he had the erect phallus of Osiris erected in the middle of St. Peter's Square, he actually conducted an exorcism against it to cast out the demon, the spirit of Osiris. That's a historical fact, which, of course, leaves you scratching your head about why would you even put that up in the middle of St. Peter's Square. But look at St. Peter's Square. What do you have? You have four pathways leading to an inner circle in which is the square base of the obelisk of Osiris. Go to Washington, D.C. What do you see? Four distinct pathways leading to an inner circle in which sets the square base of the obelisk of Osiris, built by the Washington Freemasons. So all of this stuff has significance. It is necromantic. Now, of course, if you wanted to fast forward earlier in this program, Doug mentioned the connection between China and the Obama crime family. Right now, we are hearing, I know that you guys, by the way, you're always advised that you know this, but some of the people in the public may not know. Look at all the people. Dick Morris, one of the former advisors to the U.S. president. Steve Bannon, former advisor to Donald Trump during his run-up to the election. They're all, and numerous others. They are saying that Joe Biden is only a placeholder, but what do they call it? Not a contested. What do they call it where you go into the election and then the superdelegates are going to have to just make a decision around who the
nominee person. Candidate, whatever, not candidate nominee.
Yeah.
You get the idea.
A brokered convention.
Right, right.
That they're headed towards a brokered convention. They're all saying this, and they're saying that, you know, lo and behold, out of this is going to rise Hillary Clinton. Now, why is that important, and what does it have to do with what I'm talking about? Well, because we uncovered significant evidence that at Jeffrey Epstein's Orgy Island, human sacrifices were made, but it also involved the presence of, well, let's just say, former highly placed government officials. And some of these are connected to dark prophecies. In the 1950s here in the United States of America, you had, you know, the founder of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. You had the founder of the Church of Scientology. These guys were devotees of Aleister Crowley's dark occultism. Crowley, almost 100 years ago, had conducted an experiment that he called the Amalantra working, in which he hoped to open a gateway, a doorway, that Steve Quayle has written significantly about, that would allow an essence, a spirit, to come through from the other side into this reality. Well, Jack Parsons, L. Ron Hubbard, they were devotees of his. And they wanted to repeat the same experiment, except what they wanted to do was bring forth into this reality what they called the spirit of Babylon, the whore of Babylon, the archetype divine feminine, in order to assist in the rise of Antichrist in the end times. So they conducted these experiments, sex magic rituals, and at the end of it, in 1946 and on into 1947, Jack Parsons said that they had been successful. So he wrote in his biography, they were successful, they brought through this spirit, the whore of Babylon, that became incarnate in a female child that he said would be born within 1 year, and she would grow up and help the Antichrist come to power. 1947 rolls around. 1 year later, lo and behold, a woman is born. A female child is born, and she would grow up to become an internationally known feminist that has the opportunity to influence the 2020 election of this year. None other than Hillary Rodham Clinton. But in 1948, Jack Parsons wrote another book called The Antichrist. And in that book, he made this astonishing statement that I found and I published in our work, that in 1948, when this child, at the end of 1948, when this child would have been about 1 year old, she came to him in a vision. And she said, I am alive, and I am going to help the Antichrist come to power. And, oh, by the way, my name is Hilarion. That's in one line in Book of the Antichrist, written 72 years ago. And so I asked people in our work, you know, to consider the statistical probabilities. How many people would have been born in 1947? Hilarion is the archaic Hillary. So how many people would have been born in 1947, named Hillary, that would grow up to become an international feminist, that has the power and ability to influence the next American election, to be the president, the vice president, or to influence it in some way? And in the book, I list a whole lot of other, like, little, you know, bullet points, if you will. Statistically, it's beyond improbable. So now, all of a sudden, we have all these guys that should know, people like Dick Morris and Steve Bannon, saying, guess what? There is a secret scheme. There's a plan that's in play right now behind the scenes towards a broker convention for the Democratic Party to bring Hillary Clinton back into the game. And by the way, this probably wouldn't take either one of you guys by surprise. She will be 72 years old, and 72 is the highest marker in occultism as it is connected to the coming of Antichrist and the final world empire. So there's a great deal of that information. I jumped off of the large berm that is on Epstein Island, but I want people listening to this to know that if you buy the book Shadowland, you get the $800 of 73 other books and all the other stuff that comes with it. But the prize to me, above any and every other thing we're giving away in that promo, is the four-hour CD set, The Hidden Occultism of Epstein's Orgy Island, where you're going to learn about why the diagrams on that island, and especially the large berm, is laid out the way that it was. And I'm telling you right now, all of our evidence concludes that satanic sacrifices, human sacrifices of children, were made on that island. Why were they doing that? Because they are marshaling the entities of the end time. They are marshaling the spirits of the end time. They see this as their greatest possible opportunity, especially now with the coronavirus outbreak, bringing the world to its knees, to create the rise of the man that is going to be the fulfillment of their Ordo Ad Caeo, their Novus Ordo Seclorum, a new golden age born out of the ashes of chaos. This is ancient prophecy, and if you don't believe it, it don't really matter. They do, and they are acting in every possible way to bring it about. There's a lot more, by the way, in Shadowland that you've not read any of this online. For instance, Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, his madame, There are bloodlines that go back through the Maxwell family all the way back to the 1946 rituals that were being conducted by the followers of Aleister Crowley toward the incarnation of this final woman, this Babylonian whore that is going to help the Antichrist come to rule. Members of their families, bloodline rituals carried out for the past 70-plus years. So all I can tell you is, if you can get the book, I'm going to send you the Orgy Island 4-hour world-exclusive disclosure, and I guarantee you it's going to absolutely blow your mind.
Jean-Luc Brunel as well. Some other names. Folks, you're going to want to read Shadowland. I'm going to tell you, if nothing else, the Hillary connection, Epstein Island, to what we're seeing today. See, and that's the other thing, what we're seeing today. These things are kind of coming together. Steve, go ahead.
Well, I think one of the things that, you know, is really critically important is the age of Hillary, the Hilarion, 72. And there are 72 demon gates called the gates. And I don't want anybody to look this stuff up, please. But they're called the Goetic, G-O-E-T-I-C gates. Cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. I'm not kidding. But isn't it interesting, Tom? Those gates, if she's the key master, even in Ghostbusters, the key master, that only stands to reason. Now, let me share something else that's interesting. As we're trying to decipher, Doug, I've been working on this project. Tom, you know about it. I was in your studio when the first Eureka moment hit, when we were sent those photographs of the artifacts by Jess in Mexico. We've been scientists around the world using the most sophisticated computers that exist, who are happen to be Christians, in the process of deciphering over 160,000 stone ciphers, if you will, petroglyphs, geoglyphs. And what's interesting, Tom, and I think maybe I've said this to you, Tom and Doug, is that they all point to the future arrival of the Prince of Darkness on Earth. They are stargate points in the universe. By the way, they don't look like Stargate SG-1, the series, but they look very cool. And what's really interesting, you're going to love this, you guys, is to the language that existed in pre-Adamic China that was judged by God, in a previous flood preceding Noah's flood. And people, see, I lose people when I say that. But Tom, it has everything to do with the 72 gates. It has everything to do. So Doug, you know, when Jesus made a statement, again, I've come out and said it all these years on talk radio. The problem with them claiming Christianity is they won't read the words of he it's who it gave his life and then brought and God raised him from the dead, Jesus of Nazareth, that they don't believe that Jesus said what he said, meant what he meant. And Tom, I think I've said this on a show. Jesus asked me one time, he said, Steve, how many of my people take me seriously? When I say, if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before my Father was in heaven. I learned from the book of Job to let not myself think an answer like that, that I wouldn't have the answer for. But I said this, I said, Lord, the fact that you asked that question tells me, number one, Lord, it's on your heart. Number two, it's infinitesimally small. Those are the only two revelations I got. And, you know, I think it's tragic, Tom. We wouldn't have had all the blood of the infants if the church had stood up. We wouldn't have had all the slaughter and the perversion if the church had spoken up. There are those who have, and God bless everybody. It's not a blank endorsement. But the thing is that I see in blood on the altar, I see that people have how do I say this, apathy, indifference, and comfort zone have kept us all from seeing the lateness of the hour, lest the Lord God himself, through the very spirit of holiness, has revealed it. And so, you know, Tom, by the way, I've never seen an offer like that. I know you haven't lost your marbles, but, you know, that's a fabulous offer for those who buy Shadowland. Doug, that's an amazing offer. And by the way, Tom and I want to ask you guys, first of all, thank you. what you hear Tom Horn speaking of on Hagman's report, the Hagman report with Doug, what you do when you buy the coffee that's got his brand name on it, and what you do for those of you that have helped us in this ongoing 4.5 year legal battle, thank you. Because Branson this year has got to go to a live streaming / DVD presentation, we're going to have a special a statement sent out to those of you who have already determined that you want to come to a dinner. And so you'll be getting a separate email on that. Even today, watching some of the stuff in the background that comes to me, and I sent it to Doug, don't know if he's had time to we were going to try and shoot for May. Yeah, we're going to try and shoot for May, but we may move that into April. You'll be given plenty of time. Anybody who's bought a registration ticket will be given free live streaming and a free set of DVDs. That's a $200 thing. We reserve the right to do that, and I believe the information that's going to be presented at Branson goes right along with Tom Horn's previous book, Wormwood and the Lateness of the Hour, because, ladies and gentlemen, I made the statement, 2 years ago at Branson, that the word normal would never be used again. And everything you knew that you thought was just going to go along, nothing will be the same ever again. Those were my exact words. This year is that the signs in the sun, moon, and stars in the heavens, asteroids, even now there are two that are crossing the Earth's path and they didn't hit. But the point is that when the time comes that the days go to darkness, and Tom, that's something I've been puzzling. Lord, how are you going to do that? Well, I don't think people understand that number one, God can do whatever, but if a body, a heavenly body, let's say this errant planet or a returning planetoid under fallen angel control comes between the sun and the Earth, forming somewhat of an eclipse, that's going to do it. All the volcanic ash going into the upper atmosphere is already dimming it. The heaviness that people feel, I can't even imagine. But those who love Jesus and are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb will sense the same thing Jesus sensed when he hung on Calvary between heaven and earth, between the Father's perfect atonement through his Son and the rejection. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus crying out to the Father. I can't imagine the heaviness. I don't believe any human mind could even, attempt, and nor will I, to put it in. But I believe this, you guys, that during that time of darkness, and I'm not just talking about, all hell being turned loose, but I believe it's going to be a time to reflect. Do you want to turn and repent to Jesus, who is the light of the world, who will light our path? Or do you want to go headlong into the most evil, dangerous, treacherous time in history that Jesus himself said, there's never been a time like it, nor would be again. And except those days be shortened, there be no flesh left alive. Yet for the elect's sake, those born by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, they will overcome, and loving not their life unto death, they will overcome that time that's coming. And, I'm telling you, Tom, there's only two words, either overcome or succumb. Succumb means to basically fall under. The parable of the 10 virgins. You can spiritualize it all you want, but 5 got to go with the bridegroom and 5 didn't, and the door was shut unto them. So the point, I think, is this, that preparedness is not only a mindset, it is a critical life skill, a CLS. And people had better disassociate themselves from the PBS, political bull stuff, and go to critical life skills. Because again, we are in a time now, and Tom, I don't think you heard me, and maybe I said this with you, I'm sorry, I don't think I did, but the Lord told me, he said, when you tell my people to prepare, tell them to prepare to overcome. And I don't know if you ever heard that, Tom.
Well, yeah, I think you've taught, here's the thing, Steve, you've been a forerunner. Thank you. Thank God for creating the anomaly that is known as Steve Quayle. you've been my best friend forever. You've been out there ahead of all of us. You've inspired me in the most important ways, as has Doug. And I would really like to say to the audience, because I know we're going off the air here in a moment, Doug Hagman, thank God for this man that God raised up He has given us an international audience, an opportunity to talk to people outside of our own sphere for the last decade. And I don't know if you know this, but he pretty much depends on your support. And he never, you know, never or rarely ever has even mentioned it. I would really love to encourage you if there's anything you can do. By the way, Doug, I don't even know if you have a donate button on your website. If you don't, you should have. I would really like for people to help you, to support you. These are critical times. The stuff that me and Doug and Steve are talking about today, the stuff you're going to find in Shadowland, the stuff you're going to find with Steve Quayle's upcoming conference, it's now going to be live streamed, and I think that's a great way, by the way, to deal with this whole need right now to socially distance ourselves from each other. But there are very few sources, resources out there like the Hagman Report. There is little to nobody that is bringing you this kind of critical information. If there is any, and Doug did not ask me to do this, if there is anything you can do to help the Hagman Report stay on the air, please do that. It's not only critical now, it's going to be more so in the very, very near days. Steve mentioned my book, The Wormwood Prophecy. Well, guess what? That happens in the middle of what dispensationalists would call the Great Tribulation Period. That's a few years from now. That's 2029. Back up in front of that, what those dispensationalists would call the beginning of Great Tribulation would be any time now, and we are rushing into that kind of a government situation. People like Doug Hagman may not be allowed to be on the air very long. Please help him if you can.
We really appreciate that. And, you know, it goes without saying, I mean, you're at the forefront, Tom, of bringing this information to people. We want to thank you for that. Steve Quayle, of course, has been forever, it seems like, or at least as long as I've been paying attention, at the forefront. And what you've put together, Tom, combined with Steve's knowledge and the information available on Steve's website and Steve's books as well, together, I think we represent a pretty formidable foe against the deep state, the denizens of darkness. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate what you do. And Steve, I appreciate what you do. And we're all in this together, aren't we? I mean, we are all in this together. We've got to fight. What's our alternative if we don't fight?
And we are all in this together. And the scripture tells us that we have to do what we can do while the day is here, while there is light. It also says that he that now letteth will let until he be removed, and then shall that wickedness be revealed, who the Lord shall oppose with the brightness of his coming. So we have a very short period of time right now to resist the incoming of this darkness. And Doug, you are literally at the forefront of that, as is Steve. And I hope that me and Skywatch are playing some small role in that as well.
Yeah, big role, both of you, indeed. Well, again, I want to thank you. And Steve, just to be clear, you're going to be, I mean, the conference in Branson is going to turn out to be a live stream. And by the way, for those who sign up for the time with Steve and I know Steve, you're going to be announcing, or we're going to be announcing together how that will play out at a future time. But, you will get your time with us. That's for sure, with Steve. That's for sure. And, I just want to say thank you, Steve, and thank you, Tom, for just a tremendous program today. We've got 30 seconds each. Tom, I'll give you 30 seconds first, and then to Steve, 30 seconds, and then we're out of here.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you very much for having me on. Of course, we're giving away $800 in product. Go to skywatchtvstore.com. More than anything else, make sure you get the hidden occultism of F.C. Zorgi Island. We didn't even start to talk about what is on that series. We're giving it away to you for free. Please support the Hagman Report. Please make sure you pay attention to what is happening right now. Steve Quayle putting his conference online. Skywatch TV may have to do the same thing. Because these are the voices that are going to give you clarity in the end times.
Amen. Steve, 15 seconds, brother.
Real quick, Daniel Holdings wrote the book Midnight Strikes and Judgment Unleashed. In this thing, it's over 400 pages. hours and hours, 100 hours, I think, of interviews with me. He did the writing. I fulfilled my word saying I'm not going to write another book. But he was able to draw all the things that the Lord has spoken to me over all these years of my walk with him and tripping for 48 years. And I don't mean tripping as in taking drugs. I mean as stumbling, you know, in the darkness. But the Lord lifted me up. So the point being is God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for your support and supporting Hagman Report. God bless, Doug. Bye, Tom.
God bless, gentlemen. And God bless each and every one of you. Until tomorrow, God bless you. Stay safe. Keep your head on a swivel.